Hey, South Campus, you alive? We're live. McNeil, give South Campus a shout out, would you? We are real time today, and I'm so excited. We're all starting the 60-60 experiment together as one church in multiple locations. And I have been so looking forward to this day because I really believe that if you go on this 60-day journey with us, you're going to experience the most fulfilling journey that you've ever been on if you go all out with us. You know, if you read the scriptures, From the beginning in Genesis to Revelation, you see, we were created to do life in this intimate, loving relationship with God. You know, it talks about it from the very beginning. It talks about how Abraham in 2000 BC was called the friend of God because Abraham and Sarah trusted God and followed him. You know, in 1500 BC, Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the way you enter into the most fulfilling life. In 1000 BC, you see David penning psalm after psalm after psalm, saying how wonderful the love of God is to experience for those who rely and trust in him. And then you fast forward to 32 AD, where Jesus says, the two greatest commandments are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he claims that he came to demonstrate the extent of God's love and to show us his character so that we would be able to relate to God, you know, in a way we can understand. And then he demonstrated God's extent of his love in laying down everything he had for us. And then you get to the last chapter of the last book in Revelation. You see this picture of eternity. And it's this picture that God calls his wedding day, when all those who were pledged to him in love are finally together face to face with him. We were created to do life out of this intimate relationship with God. You know, the question is, how do you do that? Because God is also clear in the scriptures, we don't have to wait for eternity to begin to experience this eternal quality of life with God beginning to grow up within us. But how? How do you do life with a God that you can't see or hear or touch? That's what this next 60 days is about. That's what we're going to be experimenting with so that we can learn together experientially. But first, we need to understand a few things about God as he really is and a few things about ourselves. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the story of the Titanic, right? Not the movie Titanic. That actually is not the story of Titanic. That's the story of how a group of producers got together late one night and made a bet. A bet that they could make a movie that guys would like, you know, where things get destroyed, they blow up and sink. And yet women would sit through 3 hours of and love so much they'd cry at the end. Ingenious movie, right? But the real story of Titanic, of course, is a tragedy. You know, the real story of Titanic is about this famous ship claimed by its captain to be indestructible. And on its maiden voyage, it sailed out for the frigid waters of the North Atlantic, struck an iceberg, and sank, and many people were killed. The reason it sank, though, was because of the pride of the captain. You know, it was pride, ultimately, that sank that ship. The captain was out to prove something to the world. He had something to prove. And so he listened to no warnings about icebergs in the area. He heeded no advice to slow down. He was God of the high seas on his indestructible ship. And the result was pride destroyed that ship along with his life and many other lives as well. You know, in many ways, our lives lived without God is like living on our own personal Titanic. You know, where we decide that we're going to try to play God. We're going to put ourselves at the center of life. We're going to call the shots. We're going to be captain of our own lives. But there's this huge iceberg that eventually we all run into that will destroy our ship. And you may see a tip of the iceberg, you know, a failed marriage or two, resentment and anger, worry and stress, workaholism, drinking to relax, drugging to have fun. You know, frustrated when people don't do what you want and don't make you happy. And we put things in our lives to try to patch the hole, don't we? These coping mechanisms. But nothing will fully patch the hole because there is definitely a leak and the ship's going down. And if you don't realize that soon, you will within 100 years for sure. You know, Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about the frustration of living this life on our own personal Titanic. Listen to what Paul says, what it's like trying to do life on our own apart from God. Here's what he says in Romans 7, starting in verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Say that 7 times fast. Like a tongue twister. But we all can relate, right? We all can relate. I mean, I remember trying to live life that way. You know, I remember life on my own personal Titanic, you know, where I had to try to prove something. And I remember trying, you know, I remember trying really hard to be good, to do the right thing, and to prove to God or to the world or to someone that I was worthy, I was lovable. And yet the truth is, I failed. In time, I started to realize I fail, and then I felt guilt when I failed. And so you know what I did, and what we all do? I vowed, I'll try harder. You know, I'll try again, and this time I'll succeed. And so I tried harder, and I failed again. And then I felt even more guilty. And so you vow again, right? In fact, you double vow. You know, this time I'm really going to do it. And you try again, and you fail again, and you feel even more guilty. And you go around and around until the guilt turns into shame, right? The guilt turns into shame. That's what Romans 7 is talking about. It's not just that I feel guilty because I do wrong. It's that there's something deep down wrong with me. I'm bad. And we keep going around and around this long enough and we just feel miserable. In fact, that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. He goes on and says, what a wretched man I am. Who will set me free from this body of death? See, this feels like death, doesn't it? And eventually, what we all start to feel is condemned. And I remember feeling this way. And I thought, well, you know what? Forget it then. You know, if God's going to condemn me, I quit. And so I just got rid of God. I just decided, I'll just get rid of God and then I won't feel guilty anymore. And that's what many of us have done at some point in our lives. You know, I just decided, okay, God's out of my life. Now, if you had asked me, you believe in God, I would have said, yeah. But the truth is, God didn't really have anything to do with my life. He did his thing up in heaven. I did my thing on earth. We didn't talk about it. That was the arrangement, right? The problem is, when we live on this personal Titanic of trying harder and failing and feeling guilty and we push God out, eventually what happens is we have to try to hide our guilt. We deny when we do things wrong, or we blame other people. And as a result, we just stay stuck. We get to become very defensive people, don't we? Well, you know what I discovered that is so freeing? The scriptures go on to say in Romans chapter 8 that it's not actually God who wants us feeling condemned and living guilty and burdened all the time. That actually God comes along and he provides a rescue. It says in Romans chapter 8, the answer to who will set me free from feeling this wretched misery is Jesus Christ our Lord. There is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. See, what he's saying is, God actually wants to transfer us out of this miserable way of trying harder and failing, and he wants to put us on a new ship called secure. Called secure in what God has done for us through Christ. So that we can be delivered from this. See, you got to get this. God actually does not want you forever living burdened and guilty and weighted down. He wants you to live secure in him. So that now he can direct you and lead you to life. To live it in a new way. Now here's the deal. You are captain of the ship here. God's captain of the ship there. But you got to get a picture of what he's trying to do. Think about it this way. You know, imagine you're a little kid and you're trying to learn how to play the piano, right? And every time you hit a wrong note, your father slaps your hand hard and says, no, wrong. Can't you try harder? Can't you get it right? Sometimes I wonder if you're ever going to amount to anything. You're so worthless. Now, unfortunately, some of you learn piano that way. How much do you like piano? You hate it, right? I bet you don't play piano at all. In fact, whatever you learn that way, I bet you avoid. Why? Because it associates you with the memory that if I do anything wrong, I'm worthless. I'm condemned, right? But see, God's not that kind of father. He wants to set us free from this lonely life of trying harder and failing and going around and around, trying harder again, and then having to live in denial. Instead, he wants us to live secure in him, where he says, look, even when you fail, you're my child. I'm not going to abandon you. Scoot over. Let me on the bench. And I want to show you, you're hitting wrong notes, but he patiently works with us. And he says, one day you're going to be making beautiful music. Watch, we'll do it together. See, that is the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God who wants to enter into life with us. You know, this 60-60 experiment is all about learning how to actually let God in to help us. And this is why God did what he did through Christ. He wants to set us free from this so that we're in a secure place, so that even as you're failing, you don't run and hide from God. You open up your mind and let him lead and guide you. Because what he wants to lead and guide us toward is out of the icy, frigid waters of the North Atlantic. And he wants to help us get to the warm, tropical waters of the spiritual Caribbean. He wants to experience something that you sights and sounds and experiences you've never dreamed of. But we have to let him lead us there. That's what it goes on and says in Romans 8, 4 and 5. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? So that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature. In other words, just trying harder and failing and doing it again and again all by ourselves on our own. But instead, who live in according to the Spirit. How? Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Do you see this? See, this moment by moment mental connection with God allows us to do life with God even as we're failing and falling. And then he can guide us into new waters. This is how we grow. God causes the growth. See, he does for us on his ship what we could never do for ourselves alone. Now, something surprising happens when we decide that we're going to give up, you know, our own personal Titanic where we're the captain, and we're going to get on board with God where he's the captain. Once we do that, we're surprised because God says, you steer. And we thought he just wanted to dominate and control our lives, but instead he says, no, you steer. He says, no, understand, I'm the captain. And I know how to keep you from just running into iceberg after iceberg. And I know how to sail you into warmer tropical waters you're going to enjoy spiritually. But I want you to steer still. But I want you to remember I'm the captain and let me navigate. Listen, and I will show you where to go. And that really is what Romans 8 is saying. It says God doesn't take over our free will. We still can set our minds. And we can grab hold of the steering wheel and go right back to our old ways and run into iceberg after iceberg for the rest of our lives. Now, this ship, it won't sink, but you spend your life, you know, missing the warmth of the relationship God wants for you. This is what this 60-60 experiment is about. We're for 60 days going to try to go all out, learning to listen and respond moment by moment to God's will. And if you will, I bet you will start heading in a direction and you won't want to go back to the frigid, icy waters of the north. You know, this is why Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, God doesn't force his will here on this earth. We have to choose. We have to be willing, and that's what we're going to work on, just being willing to respond as we start to understand God's will throughout the moments of the day. Now, the problem is we were trained over here, you know, to just grab the wheel and chart our own course and ignore God. And so we have to learn to remember that the captain is right there with us and wants to help us and guide us. So this is how the 60-60 experiment works. You know, we're going to give you this free book called Soul Revolution, and it's to help you really understand, because I can't teach enough in 30 minutes to help you understand how this works. And then at the end of each chapter is kind of a how to keep going in the experiment. So you can pick that up for free in the lobby if you're willing to do this experiment with us. All we ask is that you read it and you try it for 60 days and do it with some friends. Do it with a few other people. Now, the other thing you're going to need is you're going to need a PDA or a watch or a cell phone or something that will beep every 60 minutes. And here's the point of this. The beep interrupts our habit that we were trained in here of ignoring God most of the day. And what it does is it just reminds us, oh yeah, God is here with me and actually wants to help me. And so you just stop and pause and consult the captain. Am I headed in the right direction? You know, am I on course with your will or have I gotten off course? And if you've gotten off course, you just thank him that he doesn't condemn you. You know, it's like a little two-year-old learning to walk. Part of learning to walk is you fall down. And your mom or dad helps you up and you try again. And eventually, though, you don't just stay on the ground. You learn to walk. We're learning to walk with God. And so you just check in. And you try to get better and better where it's even in between every 60 minutes. But here's what you have to understand. You won't do it perfectly. You got to get that, okay? One of my favorite comments was a guy who, when we did the 60-60 experiment 3 years ago, he emailed me and he said, I've been trying the 60-60 awareness of God's presence, you know, for the last 2 days. And he said, man, is it hard. He said, I'm hardly ever where I want to be when that stinking beeper goes off. And see, that's why if you're still over here, you'll quit. Because it feels like your ship is sinking. You gotta remain here in the security that God forgives and is patient and walks with you. That's why he did what he did through Christ. So here's what you gotta get if you get nothing else today. The goal is not perfection. The goal is progress. Say it with me. The goal is not perfection. The goal is progress. We're trying to learn how to get better and better through the moments of the day of listening and responding to God's will and seeing if it doesn't lead us into a better life. Well, some people have already started this experiment, and this time we formed this online blogging community. And you can go out on soulrevolution.net and you can start to read stories. What we're going to try to do is learn from each other what we're learning, what God's doing among us, and it'll encourage all of us. In fact, if you're in a small group, you can get your group of friends and you can form your own little community where you can only read each other's stories throughout the week, or you can share it with our whole church and we can encourage each other. But go out there and you can check some of those out. But you know, one guy blogged this week and he said this. He said, it's funny how much of a difference it makes when your equipment isn't working. He said, I had this watch that beeped every hour and then it stopped beeping and I stopped connecting with God. See, that's because we were trained to ignore God most of the day. He said, so now I'm going to try to start again with my PDA beeping every hour. And here's something you need to know. You know, if you can't get stuff to beep, just go see the beep squad. Okay, there's a beep squad up here up north. They can make anything beep. If you're down south, I don't know, go see Bruce. He can make anything beep too. But the goal is reminders. Okay? Maybe you want other reminders. You write on a post-it note, 60-60, and put it on your computer monitor. Or put it on your rear view mirror if, you know, driving is a problem. Or put it on your mirror in your bathroom. But the whole goal is to remember God is with you every moment. Stay connected and willing. See if it doesn't lead to a better way of living. Now, I know the truth is some of you are not yet willing to do this experiment. And the main reason is because you don't really trust the captain. And I believe that's because you just don't know him yet. You know, I know some of you are thinking about, you know, every 60 minutes for 60 days, you know, being aware that God is with you. And that feels like a 60-60 flogging, doesn't it? You know, you're just imagining, you know, every 60 minutes feeling bad because you're not doing it. But that's because you're on this personal Titanic of trying harder to prove you can do it. That's the whole point. You're not supposed to do it alone. And if you think that's what God wants, just to beat you up all day, every day, you don't know God yet. You know, some of you are still afraid that God wants to take the wheel of your ship and run it aground on a desert island. You know, where you'll be bored and lonely and have to stay in all alone Friday nights for now and forever. Right? And that's because you don't know God yet. Some of you think he's this cruel ship taskmaster who wants to enslave you and force you against your will to do things you don't want to do or become someone you don't want to become. You don't know God yet. See, some of you have this picture you carry around in the mental wallet of your mind of God, but it's an imposter God. And you know what? You need to take that picture out and shred it. And you need to replace it with an image of the God that Jesus claims to have revealed. You know, this whole 60-60 experiment comes out of what Jesus taught his last night on earth, what he said is most important to understand. And it's recorded in John chapters 13 through 17. And I want you to just sit back for a second and consider what Jesus revealed about the character and nature of God. And I want to encourage you to go read John chapters 13 through 17 tonight. And just ask yourself, if that's really what God is like, why wouldn't I want to devote 60 days to trying to learn to do life with a God like that? If that's really what he wants for me. Just consider that and listen to what Jesus reveals. I'll summarize it. In John 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, he says, the Creator is a lover. Above all else, God is a lover. See, there is no one in this universe who loves you more than the one who created you for himself. He's a lover. He goes on and he says in John 13, 3, God has authority over everything. And yet he says the Creator is humble. He's humble. See, that's why he doesn't power up on us. It's why he doesn't force his will. Instead, he waits for our willingness. That's what we're working on, our willingness before God. It says in 13:5, the Creator is a servant. He stoops to wash our feet. He shows us what love actually acts like, so that we will receive his love and we will love more like he does. In John 14:16, he says the Creator is a comforter, a helper, a counselor who will never leave us. You know, think about that. You know, out on soulrevolution.net on the blog, one guy wrote this week. He said, my timer just went off and I asked God what he wanted me to take away from a conversation I just had with my boss. I was immediately reminded of three critical pieces of information about three direct reports, which will be good developmentally for them. Stop and think about that. Have you ever considered that God is with you all the time and actually wants to help you? Like even on the job. And as you learn to be more connected and responsive, you're going to see he actually wants to lighten your load throughout the work week. Jesus continues in John 14:26 and said, God teaches us what's good and true. God gives peace of mind. He takes away our troubles and our fears. You know, one woman wrote last week on the blog, she said, so far, this process has changed my life. She said, I'm usually a high-strung, impatient, moody person that allows the silliest things to irritate me and get me down. Since I started this, the last few weeks, I've been so calm, even through a breakup, quitting smoking, not being able to pay my bills, a single mom with a young child, etc. I've been telling myself this is not worth getting worked up about. Instead, I pray that God will help me through my tough times and help me figure out a positive way forward. She said, I found a solution to the bills, moving out and moving in with my best friend. I've been calm with the ex. Reading those passages has helped tremendously. See, it almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But this is exactly what Jesus was trying to get across this last night on earth. We make life way too complex and complicated. It really is very simple. He said, it's just like a branch that stays connected to the trunk of a tree. That branch doesn't have to keep trying harder to produce fruit. It just stays secure and connected and fruit grows naturally. And that's what Jesus said about God in John 15:5. He said, we stay connected and God produces fruit in us. See, this is what this hourly beep reminds us of, to focus on this one thing. I'm not going to kid you. It is mentally rigorous to try to stay connected and responsive to God because we've been trained a whole lifetime to do something different. But that's the only thing you have to really focus on, and you'll be amazed at how many other things take care of themselves. And Jesus says the kind of life God wants us to live is remaining moment by moment experiencing his love so that God produces his joy in us. I mean, just imagine God's joy. You know, we get little tastes on the tip of our tongues, right? Little thrills, little excitements, those moments you would like to just freeze frame for an eternity. But God experiences eternal joy, and he wants to share it with us. You know, out on the blog, Kurt wrote this week. He said, over the past few weeks, I've been experiencing something I've prayed for several years now. Joy. I've always been kind of leery of those Christians that always have happy faces on and seem to not actually have any daily struggles or ups or downs. I grew up around that, and it always seems so fake to me. But lately, it seems like a weight has been lifted, and I just feel this peace that's come over me, and I can't seem to stop grinning. So now I can't help but wonder, I'm not turning into one of those folks now, am I? I wouldn't worry about it, Kirk. If it's real, it's real. But he points out something important. You know, we don't need to go about faking it. You know, it's not like life always goes our way. There are ups and downs. There still are struggles. But what Jesus went on to remind us is that the Creator wants to be your friend and walk with you even through those. And not only that, but even in our trials and sorrows, he is with us and he will overcome it. Why wouldn't you want to do life with a God like that? I mean, just consider, if that's really true and he'll really lead you into that kind of life, why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you at least want to check it out? Well, you know, I want to encourage you, even if you're a skeptic and not sure what you believe, commit as much of yourself as you understand to as much of this God as you understand for 60 days. And I bet as you become more and more willing, you'll become more and more convinced that what Jesus said was true. Because more and more you'll experience the real God working in and through you. And if you don't believe me, listen to someone who did the 60-60 experiment 3 years ago and listen to what he discovered.
Good morning. My name is Brian Ziska, and this is my story. If you would have told me a few years ago that I would be on this stage talking to you about my relationship with God, I would have thought you were crazy. Why? Because I didn't have a relationship with God. I was an atheist. Very early on in life, I had several wounds, my parents getting divorced, not knowing how to deal with that, turning to alcohol and parties as friends as a means to escape in my teen years, and I just drifted away to the point of not believing. I just thought, there's no way that God can exist. This stuff just is too painful. And I carried that into my adulthood, and I became a workaholic. I was always striving to fill some kind of void. I started an architecture firm about 5 years ago, and I based my self-worth on, you know, whether or not I could come up with the coolest design. And because I didn't have any relational skills growing up, I wasn't even capable of building this team around me to do this work that I thought was so important. And so I ended up doing it mostly myself, working all the time. I was always angry with my employees. I was always angry with my clients. Nothing was ever good enough. The glass was always half full. And I was just often depressed and hopeless. And I went into a pattern of just working all the time and going out on the weekends and trying to escape it all through drinking. I think I was really stuck in this place of just being in boredom and needing a buzz to escape the boredom of life. Whether that buzz was achievement or whether that was intoxication. And I was kind of in a place where I just couldn't be happy. I just couldn't be content with who I was. But then God took that all away for me. And he did so in a way that was pretty amazing. And I didn't even know it was him when he did it. And actually, at the time, I was really upset with how he did it. Because it was about my arrest for a third DWI in my life. And all the details of that are just amazing. They're coincidental. They're miraculous. And it's too long to tell right now, but you can get a short version of that starting on page 29 in the Soul Rev book. But I wanted to talk more about today of what God has done since I've come to faith. And through another weird series of coincidental events, I ended up at this church, Gateway, several years ago, and right when I came in, they were starting to do the 60-60 experiment. And I had come to, the miracle of my coming to faith was so powerful that I was just eager to learn everything I could about God, so I wanted to participate in this thing. And I was never really perfect at it. I don't even think I went into it trying to be perfect of hitting every hour. But what it did do was it turned my, I was kind of in a pattern of once a night I would stop and pray a prayer of thanks for everything I saw in my day. And doing the 60-60, just connecting those four or five times, made me start to become aware of God during the day, and eventually led to me actually being able to see him in the moment when he was actually doing something and I could see his hand at work. And that was so amazing. That was just, that reaffirmed everything he did when he brought me to believing in him. So as I connected with him over the last week, I was really struggling with what all to talk about today. And one thing kept coming to mind and kept getting put on my heart. And that was simply that this stuff is real, that this happens, that God just wants us to connect with him, and fruit happens. And over the course of my walk, there's been several scriptural verses, and the John 15 verses that John was talking about today were really important. And the one, the verse 5, which says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, was very powerful for me on many occasions. And I think that this is, it's easy to see, or it's kind of a cliche, I think, to understand that life is better when God is navigating the ship, and it's easy to relate to that when things are going bad. But my experience since I've come to faith has been that even when I thought things were great without God, things are so much more better and so much more exciting with him in my life. So what is this fruit that we hear of in John 15, 1 through 8? My experience has been, first fruit was just peace and joy, knowing peace and joy as a way of life. And that was probably the biggest gift of all, because I used to be angry, I used to be depressed, I used to just feel alone, fearful, and often hopeless, and knowing peace was huge. Fruit is also coming to a church with a few thousand people like this, and still having it feel small, because I know so many of you out there. Fruit is a former alcohol abuser who no longer needs the crutch. And what's really beautiful about that is realizing that the crutches just hold you back. Fruit is also standing on top of Mount St. Helens a few weeks ago and just taking in God's creation. And that was really cool for me, because back when I was a workaholic, I never really got to go outside and enjoy that. I was always imprisoned in an office or in a bar after the office or in bed hungover. Fruit is also a former porn addict who now sees the beauty of a woman's soul rather than just a selfish thrill. And what's really cool about that is the fruit I experienced one morning about 2 months after the first 60-60, when I was connecting with God and I realized that I was no longer looking at porn. And the really cool part about that was when I realized I never even made a conscious decision to stop. God just took the desire away. Fruit is walking up to a homeless gathering and no longer seeing the scum of the earth, but rather seeing beautiful souls just struggling with life, simply seeing Randy and Donna and Donnie and Sid and Michael. And I thank God all the time for bringing these new friends into my life, because they're teaching me so much about love and compassion. And fruit is being able to go on for hours and hours with all the ways God has guided me, walked with me, given me more joy than I could have ever have imagined. And I think ultimately how he remained in me when I chose to remain in him. So I've completely experienced that God is who he says he is, that this is real, and that he can do what he says he's going to do. And so I just wanted to close with both an invitation and a challenge. And the invitation is simply this. If anything I've said you can relate to, if there's anything, any of the feelings that you're going through right now, or if you're just curious and have questions about how an atheistic or a skeptical heart gets transformed, just come and introduce yourself to me, because I'd love to hear your story And I'd like to share more about God's story and what I've seen in and around me and in the people that he's blessed me with in my life. And for those of you at South Campus who don't run into me, you can email questions or anything into stories@gatewaychurch.com, and that'll get to me. And the challenge is just, will you do the 60-60 experiment with us now? And will you try to connect with God every 60 minutes for the next 60 days? Because I think if you do, and you put your effort into it, and you really connect, that you will start to see your heart shift. And maybe that's from skepticism, or maybe that's from just believing in God, to actually believing him when he says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Thank you, guys. And thank you, God.
All right, McNeil, South Campus, you ready for a revolution? You ready? I'm going to turn it over to Bruce down at South Campus. Up here at North Campus, I just want to remind you, you can pick up a free book out in the lobby. You can get a watch or, you know, a carabiner that'll beep for you. And let's pray together and let's get going. Lord, I do pray. I pray especially for people right now who maybe are still skeptical. And they're kind of going, oh man, I don't want to just jump on a bandwagon with a bunch of people doing this wacky thing. And God, I just, you know how I've struggled to figure out how to get across just how real and how great this is when we really trust you. And I know Brian was trying to do the same thing, but I pray that we'll all realize this isn't about a 60-day experiment, really. It's about what life is supposed to be like, the way you designed it to be. And so God, I just pray that all of us, however we choose to do this, will figure out how good it is when we actually do life with the one who created us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more audio and video messages, media, and information, please visit us online at gatewaychurch.com. And if you're in the Austin area, feel free to come by and check us out.